This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
You are listening to the number one horse podcast in the world. Here's your entertaining look at the horse world and the people in it.
Friday. I am Jamie Jennings in Norman, Oklahoma.
And I am Debbie Laux, currently in Newport Beach, California.
And you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for April 5th, episode 2155, brought to you today by Kentucky Performance. You think you're tired? By Kentucky Performance Products. Good morning, Horse World.
Hey, Horse World. It's Friday.
When I get off of work on Friday.
Everybody's favorite day of the week on Horses in the Morning.
Coming up.
Okay. Yes, you did it. You remember.
I was there. I was there.
Sorry, I messed you up. Go.
Coming up on today's Kentucky Performance Products Freestyle Friday edition, the event formerly known as Rolex, now known as the Land Rover Kentucky three-day event, is right around the corner. It is the Mecca for horse folks across the world. Everybody wants to maximize their visit. We're going to have a chat with Jan Butzer from Sun Valley Farm, one of the many, many cool things you got to do when you're there. And then at the final fence of the day, really bad ads chips in and takes out the back rail. So stay tuned for the fray, folks.
Yes, I love it when I have Debbie on to help with really bad ads, because I will make sure that you have plenty of Southern ads to read.
Southern ads. Yeah.
Well, thank you for co-hosting this morning. I don't know where Glenn is. I never know. He's finding Florida somewhere.
He's finding Florida, probably. Has he not found it yet?
You think he would have found all of it by now, but apparently there's more to see. So thank you for coming on and co-hosting on a Friday.
I'm excited. Yeah. Thanks for having me.
You sounded really, really excited when we called you on this conference call, and you were like, you forgot you were doing
it. I was reading a book.
High stress. She's really nervous. You can barely focus.
Couldn't sleep. No, I love coming on with you. I really do. It's fun. Oh. It's Friday.
It is Friday. And when you have a horse farm and that's all you do, it really doesn't matter.
It does. Yeah.
What is Friday?
I don't know.
Yeah. All Friday means to me is my kid doesn't go to school tomorrow. So
right. Cartoons. Yeah.
You know what? They don't really do cartoons like Saturday morning cartoons anymore.
They're all the time now. They're actually even for adults at night.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, here's some SpongeBob that I recorded on our DVR.
Yeah. That's right. Right.
Oh, well, hey, I got to ask, do you have a daily Winnie?
I have a daily Winnie all prepared for you.
Okay. Woo-hoo!
Boy, my daily Winnie goes out to four people. That's so cool. They are congratulations because they are the four finalists of the Equine Industry Vision Award. The committee came up with this, they narrowed this long list of amazing people across the industry of the equine world, and they came up with four finalists, and I'm going to name them because we know and love a lot of them. We have first Christy Landwehr of the Certified Horsemanship Association. Yay!
And host of one of the shows here on the Horse Radio Network.
Exactly! I'm glad you're
going to notice a theme.
Exactly. And we have Christy Counts of the Right Horse Initiative.
She was just on our show Wednesday.
Was she? Oh, yes. My gosh. I have to go back and listen to it. She is one of my faves. I mean, Christy, both. I have these Christies in my life that are just amazing. And she's coming to the movement on April 29 and 30 at Flagstaff Farms.
So Christy Counts from the Right Horse Initiative, also nominated. Christy Landwehr from the CHA.
Yeah, it's actually the CHA is nominated and the Right Horse Initiative is nominated. But since they're my friends, I just put their name in there because I think that's I know what they do and they're just amazing doing it. So, and then it's Tom Lentz and Tom Lentz is amazing. He's an advocate for animal welfare, obviously. And he sort of led the way for the AQHA task force on microchipping. So he, and he's past president of the AAEP. A lot of people know DVM. He's just an amazing, he's done amazing things for the horse world.
That's three.
Mm-hmm. Our fourth, you know, the guy named Monty Roberts. Yay! You know that guy? Yay! Another co-host with me on the Horsemanship Radio. So that's our theme, is the Horse Radio Network is pervasive and taking over the world. So
clearly Dr. Tom Lentz needs to come on our show because he's the only one that's not associated with
exactly.
us.
Exactly. He's got to be at least become a co-host or something.
Yeah. I did see this, and the finalists are judged on their relation to achievements in the following things: vision and innovation of a true pioneer, leadership, commitment, and dedication and willingness to serve, original, effective ideas for products, services, and programs, and number four, and I love this one the most, high moral, ethical, and professional standards. Yeah. And I mean, not to be whatever, but like, your dad clearly has to win because...
Oh.
I mean, you you got to sign, like, as a certified instructor, I had to basically sign my life away saying that forever I would be a person who would practice high moral, ethical, and professional standards. I mean, if you're dealing with a Monty Roberts certified instructor, we, not to say that I'm amazing, but I'm amazing because I've been vetted to the inch of, you know, the depth of my life to make sure that I'm not going to be an a-hole. So
that's right. That's well, we stop short of the rubber glove, but other than that,
but yeah, yeah, I'm just to let you all know, I'm going to cut that little piece out. Yeah, that's going
you
in the
better
in
not
snippets. No. File.
Yeah. And she's going to use that as her ringtone.
Against me, probably. Yeah, exactly.
We stop short of the rubber glove. I've never heard that. That's great. But yeah, congratulations to all the people nominated. That's fantastic.
Absolutely. Very cool. Can't wait. That's May 31st. So that will be announced at the Equine Industry Vision Award Breakfast at the AHP, the American Horse Publications High Desert Media Roundup Conference in Albuquerque, New Mexico, at the end of May. Should be like sweltering by then. It'd be really fun. It'd be really fun. What's yours? Do you have a daily wish?
I'm waiting. There we go. Well, you hear that, Winnie, and that's Baby Zara. So we have to get Baby Stanley. And I just wanted to say that my daily Winnie goes out to, well, kind of a combination of your dad and Baby Stanley. And I'll tell you why. Baby Stanley, for those who haven't heard, I just had a foal a couple weeks ago. Me, Pink, yeah. My broodmare, had a foal. And it's her last one. And I wanted a colt, and I got a colt. And it comes out as a monster. He is a demon spawn. Like, demon. Biting, rearing, striking, kicking. But he's just, I mean, it was at like 2 or 3 days old. So I talked to Monty on the show, and he said, basically, just leave him alone and let him just be. And then when he gets his brain surgery in a couple months, things will be a lot easier. Brain surgery, of course, being castration.
Yeah.
So I left him alone. I'm like, you know what? You go be you. I'll be me on this side of the fence. You be you on that side of the fence. Oh my God. I can't get him away from me. If I walk down the fence, he follows me. And he comes with me. It's like if I stand at the fence, he walks right over and puts his head through it to where Lucas is able to pet him now. It's like, it's like I was the lead mare, and I was like, no, you go away. I don't want to be a part of you. And then he's like, please, can I please be your friend? Oh my gosh, he's turned so nice now. So I just wanted to give that daily Winnie to him because he's this little sweetie now. I'll show you guys some pictures of Lucas petting him. Oh my God. Like, make your heart explode. It's so cute.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, it's good. So he's no longer trying to really just gnarl you and bite.
He still bites. Still bites. You got to be a little careful.
You got to be quick.
Don't trust him. You got to be quick. Yeah, but no, for the most part, he's really stopped that behavior, and he's turning into somewhat of a decent human horse. So what I started also doing was it's time for him to start eating some grain. So I took a, you know, if you put the grain in with the mare, she's just going to eat it all. And bless his little heart, he can't really reach up into the feed tub anyway. So I feed the mare, and then I take a bucket and I put some grain in the bucket and I hold it for him. And so he's been eating the grain, and I've been able to pat him, touch him while he's distracted eating the grain. And so it's actually been kind of nice to be able to get my hands on him. And they're so fluffy and soft.
I know.
Oh my God. And his little nose is so squishy.
and he's getting used to your hand. So you're kind of imprinting now. You're kind of doing that imprinting.
Oh, I better stop.
No. It's okay.
The whole point was I didn't, that first 30 minutes of, you know, when you have a foal, that first 30 minute kind of window is where you want to do all the imprinting. And I imprinted Zara with your dad's methods of using a hair dryer, and you put it all over him. And now that heifer will not leave me alone. She is not afraid of anything. There is just no, she just, if you're in the pasture, she wants to be right next to you. She loves you. She's on you. She has imprinted on you, and she loves humans, and she wants to be right next to you, and nothing scares her away.
Yeah,
so
she's
thought,
that bonded with you. Yeah.
Yes, mm-hmm. Exactly. And so this one, I was like, I'm not going to imprint him and see if I get a little bit more physical respect later on, you know? So, I am petting him. And
you'll have to talk to Dr. Robert Miller, who's coming to the movement too. He's one of the speakers at the movement. He is the father of foal imprinting, and you can talk to him about your, he's 92. I'm so glad
he came. I want to do a episode with him on, equestrian legends. So I want to talk to him because I think he's amazing. And like he said, he's the guy who invented foal imprinting, and he's had a tough road, just kind of like your dad has with coming up with something new in the horse world. They just get lambasted, you know, for doing things. But I met him at Shy Boy's birthday.
Yes, you did. I forgot about that.
When your dad had me take Shy Boy and put him in the house and bring him to the house?
into the house.
I put a diaper on Shy Boy and brought him into the house. And Dr. Miller was in there, and I was like holding Shy Boy, having a cocktail with Dr. Miller.
Dr. Miller was on site for the filming of the Shy Boy documentary. He was the vet of record for that, which was pretty cool.
Really.
Full circle.
Full circle. Yeah, totally. Well, we have a listener question, and I thought that this would be perfect to have a discussion with you about this before we get to our first guest. But I this is a letter that I just got from Leah. Leah, if you're listening, she's a hunter jumper rider in New York. And yes, I'm talking about you. You just sent it today, but it's perfect timing. Her letter says, "Dear Jamie," I added that part. I think she wrote it to Glenn. "Please help me settle a debate between me and my mom." Wow, this sounds like you need a couch for this, but I get it. "I have a 42-year-old woman who is still being told by her 69-year-old mother that I bridle I'm the same age and my mom is a little older. I can't imagine her telling me what I'm doing wrong. Bridling your horse." So she's saying that her 69-year-old mother still says that she bridles the horse the wrong way. The debate is, what ear do you put in the bridle first? The ear closest to you or the ear on the other side? Does it really matter, or is this like the blanket question? I am 5 foot nothing with a Welsh cob with fat ears who's nice enough to put his head down for me, but I like to stuff the opposite ear in first and then come back to the ear that's closest to me. My 12-year-old daughter," oh dang, grandma got the grandbaby involved in this. "My 12-year-old daughter now bridles the same way, and my mom is convinced that I taught her the wrong way. Don't get me wrong, I love that my mom is my toughest critic. She taught me never to walk in the ring with manure stains or shavings in my horse's tail, even if it's just a hack. She taught me to always put my horse's needs and comforts before mine, and to hold with great value the fact that a 1,200-pound animal has chosen to willingly do all the crazy things we ask them to. But seriously, folks, does it really matter what year I put in the bridle first? Does Thor really care?"
This is to you. Okay.
"Thank you in advance for helping to finally solve a debate which has literally been handed down to the next generation."
Oh my gosh.
This is great.
Generational question.
Drama. Oh. We are going to solve your dilemma. Now, as a certified instructor, one of the main first things that we have to do is we have to take a horse that has never worn a saddle or a bridle or anything like that. Take it into the arena, or to the round pen, do join up, first saddle, first bridle, and then long line.
Right.
The tacking up procedure is very extensive. Okay. Like it's very extensive, but it's very meticulous and scientific. Yes. So every little thing that you do in that moment of tacking up a horse for the first time is judged graded. Yes, sure. Because you have to do it exactly. Monty invented this method. So you know what? He gets to be a little picky. So Debbie, as a person who's taking your dad's intro course, what ear do you put in the bridle first?
I would correct one thing. You said he invented, but I will say he likes to say he discovered. No. Because everything that you you learned came from mistakes that were made, right? So when I said scientific, I really mean there's a reason for every move and even how you make that move, right? All those gestures and everything doesn't mean it's the only right way, but this is what the horses have, you know, taught him over all those years of why it's righter to do it that way than wronger.
Righter right? than wronger. Yeah. Yeah.
So we're going for the writer part.
He taught you how to talk that good too, didn't he?
Yeah, really good. Yeah. He's an author, sure. But yeah, no, we were taught that with a horse that, you know, is the first, you're talking about the first head stall that goes over that horse's head. And we were taught that if you did the offside ear first, you had a better chance of getting that near side ear on. And if there was a bolt or a shake or a something, you know, which often happens with the, what the heck are you doing up around my ears part, even, you know, even though the horse is not head shy or anything, that is a safer way to do it and more accurate way to do it. And it's a technique that is garnered because of the horse's, you want to help them get it right rather than make them conform to your way, which might seem obvious, like, oh, hey, I'll close the side first and then I'll get the other side because it's easier for me. It's easier for the horse to do right by doing it the offside.
You're right. So when we are putting a bridle on a horse for the first time, very specifically, we were told to put the outside ear or the right ear, the far ear,
yeah,
not the offside, yeah, into the bridle first. Okay. And you don't crinkle the ear and push it down. Mm-hmm. You know, you kind of slide the headstall over and it kind of pops forward. Exactly. But you do that outside ear first. And remember, these are horses that have had they've never had this on before. So there's going to be a little bit of like, oh my God, what are you doing? Like Debbie said. So if they go to pull away and run away and turn their head and move off to the right, because that bridle is behind that ear, you've got a better chance of getting the left one on because you've got more control. If you were to put the left ear, the near ear, in first and the horse turns right and walks away, the ear pops out and they're gone. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So in answer to your question, Leah, according to Monty Roberts, you're correct. And your mom
and your daughter. So
and
it's
your daughter. You did correct. Now let me answer the other half of that question.
All right.
Do you know how I bridled when I got to Flag Is Up Farm? Near ear first. It was really a challenge for me to switch to the offside ear first. But again, I'd never bridled a horse that had never had a bridle on before. So that was a big challenge for me to kind of change my muscle memory. Y'all changed everything I did, so it's fine. One more thing. Yeah. What's one more thing? But on your fat Welsh cob that puts its head down for you, you're doing right by stuffing the opposite ear in, you know, gently put the ear in. You're doing it fine, but I would like you to know that I did it the other way forever. But there's a scientific answer to the question, and now you can tell your mama that you were right the whole time. Boom! I love it when my mama's wrong and I'm right. So fun.
At least she knows before she's 70 now. That's okay. It's never too late to change.
Never too late. So there you go. Leah, your hunter jumper rider from New York. That's your answer. And can I just say that I really want to see her little fat Welsh cob being a little hunter jumper.
Yeah, right. How does that happen? Yeah. That's a good question, though.
Want to see it. Hey, a little bit of news before we get to our guest. And Jen, you can probably go ahead and try to give her a call. Coolmore, mm-hmm. which has, how did they get the market on Triple Crown winners standing stud?
Man, it started in Ireland way back, you know. Coolmar started in Ireland, and yeah, they just got better when they came over here.
They now have Justify, and he's going to travel from Lexington to Australia for the Southern Hemisphere breeding season. And I believe he's going to fly out with American Pharoah, who stands studded.
There's an airline.
God, can you imagine the pressure of the airline pilot flying Justify and American Pharoah?
Just don't drive. What is it, a 737 that we're just
they should probably take different flights.
Yeah, that's true. Separate the mom and dad. Yes. Yeah. No, that's amazing, though. That's really cool. Look at what they're doing.
Yeah. That's
how corner the market.
What are the stud fees on those guys? That's amazing. So they're going to be shuttling. They're going to be doing their job all year long as opposed
fun,
to just
fun
year. Congratulations to them.
Yes. Happy horses.
Yep. Well, before we get to our guests, anything else going on in your world, Debbie?
Gosh, it's all about the movement. I can't wait to see you in about 3 weeks now. What is today? The 5th. We're gonna have so much fun. The month of May is just incredible. But I'm really looking at April 29 and 30 for the movement. But right after that, we have a couple different clinics. We have a lead-up clinic, which is for the at-risk youth. We're building peaceful leaders out of kids that might not be had we not caught them with horses early. And we're doing a Horses in Healing in the middle of the month, which is for our veterans and first responders and their families. And then we close it out the month of May with an advanced course. And that's with Denise Heinlein's coming back from Germany. We've got Claire there from Ireland through the end of the month. So you'll see Claire. And we've got Simon coming in from South Africa and Yvette. And amazing. The next 3 weeks is just... That's why I was reading a book to distract myself.
busy. It's like, yeah, it's really fun. Well, cool. Thanks. And you guys can find out anything about any of those programs on MontyRoberts.com. Now, there's something else before the movement. And I don't know many people that are doing both. I am, because when Debbie calls and tells me I have to be somewhere, I go there. And that is the Land Rover Kentucky 3-day event, which is happening the 25th, 26th, 27th, and 28th. The movement is the 29th and 30th. So the morning of the 29th, I'm hopping on a plane from Lexington and flying out to Santa Barbara. But if you are going to be at Land Rover, please know that you are invited to the 4th annual Open Barn and Barbecue. And this is at New Vocations. It is apparently 7 miles from the Kentucky Horse Park. So you go through dressage, and then at 5:30 to 8:30 is the Open Barn and Barbecue. Now, that means you can go to New Vocations, you hang out to the barn, you get to see all the horses that are up for adoption, see their whole program. And I said Open Barn and Barbecue, but they also have an open bar.
So just take that in off. Right.
Get
there.
Your Ubers ready. Make sure your account is updated. And this is going to be on the Friday from 5:30 to 8:30. I'm going to be there along with Joy, my co-host from Retired Racehorse Radio. And Glenn and Jen are going to be there as well. And also the guest of honor is Nick Larkin. Now, Nick Larkin won the inaugural 4-star when it was back called Rolex. So he won on his horse Red. And then it's really cool story. I ended up taking lessons from him. And then they told me on the show he's going to be there. And I'm like, oh, my God, it's my old coach. So pretty awesome that Nick Larkin is going to be there. And he's going to do a demonstration, do some educational stuff, all while we're taking in the open bar. So please go to horseadoption.com. You can purchase your tickets there. And I believe Heels Don Happy Hour is having an event Saturday night. So there's plenty of stuff to do, and we're going to be meeting all of y'all. And please buy these tickets so you can come over and we'll have a drink together. So perfect. Horseadoption.com. It's the Open Barn and Barbecue. I'm so excited.
That's great. Nope. Yeah. Have fun. And what a good cause. That's cool.
Yeah, it's going to be really, really a good time. And of course, all the proceeds, you know, everything is donated. And I'm sure there's going to be some sort of silent auction or something that we can buy things. Because, you know, who doesn't like that? Hey, Jennifer.
Hey, what?
Is our guest ready?
She is.
Right, fantastic. I can't seem to find the chat.
Of course not.
So,
no.
I'm sure that you've been talking to me and I'm just continuing to talk. So if you can attempt.
Your job is to talk, Jamie, not read.
I can't. Well, see, the thing is, I'm supposed to read at the same time and I can't. I just, it's too much stuff. Well, I'm really excited to have Jan Butzer on, and she is from Sun Valley Farms in what we were just talking about, Versailles, Kentucky, which is actually, I think, where the Open Barn and Barbecue is for New Vocations in Versailles. If you were looking at it, you would think it was pronounced Versailles, but this is Kentucky, and they do this, their own stuff. So, hi, Jan, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Well, we're great. Tell us a little bit about Sun Valley Farms and what y'all do.
Sun Valley Farm has been a working thoroughbred horse farm since 1997. My husband and I moved here when our son was almost two, and we have been primarily in the private sales business until kind of the market kind of changed the business in 2008. And so we have been breeding mares and selling our weanlings commercially since that time. And last spring, we kind of went through another metamorphosis where we, our son graduated from college, and we realized that the Woodford Reserve Distillery was about a half a mile from us, and they get 150,000 visitors a year. And we thought, gee, wouldn't it be fun if we could introduce some of those folks to our horses. They stop along the road and take pictures of our horses all the time. So we decided we would invite them in for tours. And so that's kind of how our tour business got started. So probably about since last July, we've had nearly 2,000 visitors here at Sun Valley. And some of our folks who came last fall are starting to come back this spring because they're interested in seeing the little babies.
Oh, yes.
They're so cute.
It is definitely foaling season in Lexington. So your farm has a lot of history because it was from tell us a little bit about the history and the connection with Alan Paulson.
Mr. Paulson had 1,600 acres here in Woodford County, and his farm was called Brookside Farm. And we were the last 200 acres that he developed, and then the first 200 acres that he sold off, obviously, in 1997. And Mr. Paulson raised some incredible horses on this property, including a Zeri and Athena and Agena and Cigar. And some of those horses you may have, I know Cigar was at the horse park for a while. And so, you know, we kind of feel like there's some pretty great history from a horse standpoint and some pretty good mojo. And we also have a bourbon connection with the Woodford Reserve Distillery because the home place here was built in 1831, and it was built by Elijah Pepper, who started the distillery, and he built this house for his son Samuel.
It's amazing. If you just look back at a little of the history of Alan Paulson and kind of how he started, you know, selling newspapers and being a janitor, and he worked his way up to like owning aviation companies and then owning Cigar, and his home base was right where you are. You know, I mean, just an incredible,
absolutely,
incredible man, incredible story that he had. And then the fact that you guys are part of it. Now, y'all were breeding horses, and you know, on Retired Racehorse Radio, my other show, which we're going to play this interview on, part of the kind of discussion that we've had is the switch and the change from people that home breed to people that breed commercially, and kind of how the commercial aspect of it is taking over the thoroughbred industry. And you guys have obviously switched and kind of become that commercial breeder. What do you think some of the differences are that you're seeing in the business now?
Wow. I am not really the pedigree person, but I know that, you know, from our standpoint, the whole private market has kind of dried up. You know, it used to be we had folks that came here to buy horses from us privately because buying at the auction was a little intimidating for some folks. And so they wanted a little slower pace and the opportunity to come and kind of get to know the horse and more about the pedigree. from that standpoint, instead of purchasing, you know, at the auction. So folks would come to us and buy a mare and a foal at side, and then she was rebred. So that was kind of how we got our start. And then now, obviously, with the change in the market, we are keeping our mares more long term. And those babies that we're raising, the weanlings, are headed to the commercial sale at Keeneland. So during the November breeding stock sale or the January breeding stock sale.
Are these the same buyers? Have they just switched over to Keeneland and not buying, you know, with you guys, or is this a whole different group of people, you think?
Well, I would say it's probably 50-50. Some of the folks that bought from us are still purchasing horses at Keeneland. Some of the folks that bought from us were smaller people who didn't own their own farms, people who had maybe never owned a horse in their life. And they said, gosh, this looks like a great business. And because of my husband's accounting background, he could always tell people, you know, this is how we can make this opportunity make money for you. Mm-hmm. But we have to be able to do it just this way. And you don't overextend yourself. You have to treat it as a business, not just as something to throw money at, mm-hmm. as some of the wealthier families can do that, you know, but mm-hmm. when you're just a single breeder, you really have to watch your bottom line. So that's one of the things that we felt that we could provide to customers who came to us privately, is we could offer that to them. And then we also helped them with their seasons and help them get seasons by booking blocks of seasons for their mares as well as our own. And so we could get those at a discount by grouping them together.
Well, I think it's really exciting how, you know, Kentucky and the racehorse world is steeped in such tradition, and everybody does everything the same way. And y'all are very fluid, liquid. You know, you're kind of moving with the market, and including opening up your doors for tours. You know, I think you guys have had such massive success with your babies that have grown up. You have, I think, you've sold the dams of over 200 stakes winning horses. And yeah. just, yeah. And of course, a lot of it is credit to what they say is the exact location of your farm with the limestone rich ground where you can make good bourbon and good racehorses.
Right. Absolutely. I mean, we are right in the heart of the absolute, you know, best area here in the bluegrass to be in. And we just sort of fell into this piece of property when we bought here. And though we sort of had some idea that it was a pretty great place to be, never in a million years did we think that, you know, two Triple Crown winners would be standing next door. And mm-hmm. one of them was actually born on a farm just, you know, two hills over on the other side of the distillery. So, you know, we kind of hit the high rent district without really realizing it in 1987.
That's fantastic. Well, congratulations on your success. Tell everybody how they can. Lexington is about to be descended upon by a 200,000 psychotic horse people that love eventing and love watching the show. So you guys are open for tours. Where can people come and get tickets and go maybe get drink some bourbon and then come to your place?
Absolutely. Absolutely. We are right next to Woodford Reserve. So we're at the crossroad of bourbon and horses, we like to say. And you can find us at visitsunvalleymares.com. There's a link to our website on TripAdvisor, and we're fortunate to have, I think, 75 five-star reviews on TripAdvisor. So we are amazingly blessed by the folks who have been here, and we've asked them, you know, if you liked what you did, would you leave us a review so that others will consider coming here? So you can find us at Sun Valley Farm on TripAdvisor. Our son Brett, who is our tour guide, also manages Facebook and Instagram posts for us. So you can follow us there, and there are links to our tour website in the bio there. as well.
Fantastic. Tours are available twice daily, morning and afternoon. You kind of see what happens day to day on a thoroughbred farm.
Right. 9:30 and 1 o'clock. And we certainly appreciate having that reservation ahead of time because we are a working horse farm. So knowing that folks are coming and how many folks are coming is certainly helpful to us. So if your folks are interested in coming, just feel free to book online. If they have any questions, my phone number is there and they can always call me and ask at that point.
Visit sunvalleymares.com. Jan, you've been a pleasure to have on. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me on.
And we'll see you in a couple weeks.
Okay. Bye-bye. All right.
Bye-bye.
What a cool idea.
That's genius.
Genius.
That is genius. You're going to be like, you know what? They have all these visitors still on the street. Let's get in on that.
And share.
They want to see the babies. I mean, I've toured every time I go to Rolex or Land Rover. I tour a farm. This year, I'm going to go to Three Chimneys. I bought my tickets.
Oh. To
see Three Chimneys.
You have to buy a ticket to
Seattle there. So used to stand. And
yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, you buy tickets and they just opened that up. Gosh, not that long ago. It used to be the thoroughbred farms were like these places you could stand outside the gate and, you know, peek in.
Boggle. Yeah, that's right.
I think that's a horse. Now it's like, come on in. Welcome. Take a tour.
Smart.
Last time we met California Chrome. So you just never.
That's right. Yeah.
There's just so much more access to all of these horses now. But I love the idea of going to see just some mares and babies everywhere.
Yeah. Who wouldn't? Yeah. Even non-horse people appreciate the cuteness. And they're just beautiful in Kentucky, too, with all that green and flat. And you can see forever. It's really horse country. It's beautiful.
It is. It's amazing. Now, Jennifer, do we have a song that we are going to play before we get to really bad ads?
We do. And we are going to listen to a little Templeton Thompson right after we hear from our title sponsor, Kentucky Performance Products.
This Nutrition Minute is brought to you by Kentucky Performance Products, the company that simplifies your search for research-proven nutritional supplements at kppusa.com.
The horse that matters to you matters to Kentucky Performance Products. Researchers have confirmed that as horses age, they naturally become less sensitive to insulin and more susceptible to health problems caused by too much sugar in the diet. One way to reduce the sugar content in a horse's diet is to replace sugar-laden grains with a high-fat supplement. Fat is an extraordinary energy source. It is readily utilized by the horse and contains more than 2 times the calories of sugary grains. Equijoule Stabilized Rice Bran is an excellent fat supplement. It contains a balanced calcium to phosphorus ratio and won't cause mineral imbalances when added to the diet. Its all-natural ingredients are high in healthy fat and fiber. Best of all, Equijoule allows owners to easily replace the calories previously supplied by sugary grains. When you need to add healthy calories to your horse's diet, choose Equijoule. To learn more, visit Kentucky Performance Products at kppusa.com.
Guessing wasn't such a perfect landing. Yeah, I'm still alive, not sure how I survived. It was a hell of a ride till it ended. I guess that's what you get when you leave. You don't always end up on your feet. Oh, there's easier ways I could go. Thank you. is the true consequence of a fast turn. Every up, every down, every single go round, every fall I have found makes me stronger. So I'll knock all the dust off and then I'll get back in the saddle again. Oh, there's easier ways I could go. Oh, but deep down inside me I know I really have something to show when I get that.
That is Templeton Thompson, When I Get That Pony Road, and Debbie typed to me what I've said about every person we've had on this show, Jared Rogerson, and also Templeton Thompson, is they should be on The Voice.
They'd be on The Voice. God, they would blow people away.
Oof, just, I mean, cash in, people. Let's go. I mean, I watched The Voice, and y'all better than some of these people. Come on.
Mm-hmm. I think so, too. I'm waiting for you.
Yeah, and he's one of these days, Jared is going to walk out and I'm like, oh my God.
Oh, he listened.
He finally listened. Or not. And he likes his life being, you know.
Yeah, I know. We're cursing them by saying it too. Like, no, we got it good.
Turn all Hollywood. Come on.
Yeah, it's true. Oh, you know who's coming to our area? Is that Scotty McCreary?
He's coming
to a concert this month. Yeah, I'm going around with posters of the movement. You know, it has Dad on the cover. I'm like, everywhere Scotty's going, Dad's going. So all the posters are all over town together.
They're going to be together one night only. Yeah.
Yeah. They look
Your
the same.
Dad would be like, who's that guy? What? Yeah, what's a bear? So you know what's funny is that when I would drive to Flag Is Up Farm in California, I would drive from Phoenix. And it's the same drive from Oklahoma to Dallas when you pass by all of the billboards for the casino performers.
Oh,
right. And you're like, oh, like you would drive by and it's like casinos are where musicians go to die. Like, it's like, it's sad. It's so sad. You're like, oh God, there's
Engelbert Humperdinck is still out there. Tom Jones. Yeah.
There's so many. You're like, oh, honey, please. I always tell Chad, I'm like, the greatest curse is to have one hit song. Like the biggest curse, because you just get the taste.
How many times do they sing that darn song too? Like, bleh.
Yeah, exactly. Like how many times have they sang that one hit song that they had? And then they're still outperforming casinos in Texoma. By the way, that's between Texas.
Is that a real place?
It's a real place. Texoma. And the casino, when you're driving from from Oklahoma City, like down to Dallas, there's one right at the state line. And it is the oddest place you've ever seen. So the front of it starts with, oh gosh, the Parthenon. Okay. And then it morphs and goes into the Colosseum. And then it goes on to the Statue of Liberty. It is every like huge, giant visitor iconic place all in a row, all connected. So you can enter, I think, through the Colosseum entrance or the Leaning Tower of Pisa. It's the strangest place.
Yeah, you better not be drinking too much around there. You'd be like, how did I end up in New York City?
Where's my car? Did I drive to have a car?
Yeah, and it's Italy now.
Huge, strange place you drive by. You're like, what on earth is that? I remember driving by like, Chad, where are we? This is so
bizarre. What happened? I woke up in
somewhere between Oklahoma and Texas.
Tacoma. No, what did you say? Tahoma.
That's a different town. Texoma.
Texoma. There you
go. On the border of Texas and Oklahoma. Anyway, let's see. Yeah. It is time to play a little game that I like to call Really Bad Ads and give prizes away. So hit it, Jennifer.
Pay attention.
If you ain't met one by now, you're bound to sooner or later. He says one thing and he means another, but hey, he can't help it. He's a horse trader. Horse trading. Well, it's a laissez-faire, let the buyer beware. Horse trading. They tell a low-down lie with a sincere stare. Horse trading. Well, if they're talking in circles and the deal ain't square, he's a master in the fine art of persuading. Horse trading.
And usually we give away the prize at the end, but I'm going to do it at the beginning because, I always forget. So then, like, this prize was from a couple weeks ago. I forgot to give it away. So we're going to give it away. And it is the Haymaker Woman's Farm Boot. It is the most amazing boot. Okay, so it's huge. They say it's for the comfort ranges from negative 20 to 75 degrees. And I've been almost in negative 20s out here in this godforsaken place called Oklahoma. But it's also was 70 yesterday and I was still wearing the boots. And so they're fantastic, huge farm boots that you can walk up a wall. They have the top half of it folds down. So either it's got the ability to be a short boot or you don't have to stuff your pants in there because you just put your feet in there and then you pop them up over your pants, and they have these huge spur rests on the back so you can take them off real easy. Anyway, they're fantastic boots. And I want Jennifer, what are the numbers we're picking from today? I'm going to let Debbie pick the number to give these boots away.
What to what?
We are picking between 1 and 284.
Huh. Okay. Got it. 62.
62. Drum roll, please. I don't have that queued up. The winner is Lorraine Barta.
Oh, Lorraine. She lives in New York. She needs that somehow to get around. Lorraine lives in New York. And the reason she is winning is because she sends her audio in, which gives you double the entries. And she sends in one every week. So that gives her two entries a week. So congratulations, Lorraine. You are the winner of the boots, which, by the way, are a value of $135.
Ooh, yeah, I bet.
Nice boots. Like I said, you can walk up a wall in these boots. They're amazing. So congratulations, Lorraine. And thanks to Dry Shod USA for making such a great product and letting us give it away. Okay. It is time for the ads, and we will let you know what prize is for starting today on for the next month. And I would let you know what that was if we knew what it was.
If I only knew.
It's going to be a surprise.
It's a surprise.
It's going to be great. Okay.
Promise.
Signed headshots of me and Debbie.
Perfect.
Like I have a headshot.
Yeah, okay. Like you have it. Our portfolio needs one. Yeah.
The first one comes from Melissa. And by the way, she didn't write this. She just found it and sent it in. And if you want to get involved in, it's so easy to find really bad ads. Just log on to Facebook or Craigslist and they are right there for the picking. So Melissa sent this in to Jennifer at horseradionetwork.com is where you send them. Although, Debbie, I must admit, I bent the rules a little bit today. Somebody sent me one on Facebook that was so great that I had to include it. But usually they go through Jennifer at horseradionetwork.com because then I had to take your ad and send it to Jennifer herself. Anyway, Melissa sent this one in. This is from Facebook. Okay, now there's a lot of details that they're looking for. Casually in search of horse with color, unique patterns, or all black. Either. So either a really cool, appy color or something, or black. Around 15 hands, but I will go shorter for the right horse. Don't mind a project, but needs to have potential. Okay. No lameness issues. Completely sound. No past injuries. I prefer 12 years and under. Somewhere close to the Chehalis area. I don't know where that is.
Chehalis, yeah.
And then, Chehalis, is that California?
Yeah, it's up in Washington State, I think.
Okay. Yeah. And the last thing is one that won't break the bank.
Right.
In parentheses.
Are you ready?
Meaning, what do you think breaking the bank is?
Well, like, that's all relative.
If you were to pluck a number out of the sky, you're like, ooh, they don't want to break the bank. So, but they want a horse that's like 12 and under and sound.
All perfect.
And
yeah.
Very unique color patterns. What would you give the basis of the dollar amount?
Yeah.
I would say 5,000.
Okay. That makes sense.
What
that's
would
a
you
good
say?
General number. Yeah. 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 I'm looking at it. So I divide by 10.
Okay. Yeah. One that won't break the bank, in parentheses, meaning around $500.
Yeah. That's for the goat, not for the horse.
Yeah.
That's, no. That's for a project goat with potential, not project.
Exactly. With potential, of course. Yeah.
Good. And jump. One of those, Melissa, I want you to tell me if anybody commented underneath it. I mean, aside from giving, I've seen people submit weanlings. You know, that
yeah. Yeah, potential
neighbor stallion got their mare pregnant through the fence and they got this baby and they're like, oh, you know,
it's under but 12. Still, there but you
it,
go.
It fits everything. It's got potential. It's got no injuries and it's under 12 years old. Yeah, there we go.
Good luck. Right.
I love her last line.
Show me what you got.
Yeah.
No,
I don't see anything coming out of that. Yeah. I don't know. Show me what you got.
Yeah. I want to know, Melissa, did anybody, there's always follow-up questions I have to these.
Yeah.
All right. The next one is yours. Matt sent this one in.
The buckskin quarter horse?
Yes.
Okay. It's a 5-year-old horse and it has the barrel. It's been barrel race training my daughter.
No. Start over.
Okay.
Okay, you got to get the title. I got to remind you, you have to read it as written.
Exactly.
Okay? As written, exactly. Okay. So it's a Craigslist, of course, and it's Buckskin Quarter Horse 3500 Dover.
Okay. This is two words, Buckskin.
That's true. It is. Okay. Buckskin.
And describe the picture of this Buckskin.
Okay, this poor Buckskin doesn't appear to have legs. No, he's standing something. I don't know.
In snow.
And he's got a pile of hay, poor guy, up to his little muzzle there. And he's sad.
He looks forlorn. And the photo is taken from fairly far away.
Like we can't get close to him. Can't even get close to him. I think they have a pedigree down in the corner over here. So he's supposed to be somebody, I think. Like pedigree down there in the corner. Yeah.
Okay. Read
but you can't read it. You can't read it. Okay. It's a 5-year-old horse. The has barrel race training my daughter is in to school sports now is a sound horse.
No punctuation, no separation whatsoever. It's a 5-year-old horse that has barrel.
Horse the barrel. I love that they spelled out 5-year-old, but then they don't put any punctuation.
No. You know, this would be awesome read as William Shatner.
Ah, oh, can you it's do that, Jen?
No, I couldn't, but no.
Come on, Jen. You're on.
I'll give it a go. Okay.
Okay.
It's a 5-year-old horse that has barrel race training. My daughter. This is to school sports now. It's a sound horse.
Yes.
Drop off. Nice drop off
Very
right there.
Very good.
Yeah.
Very good. Well done. Good job. You strong armed her into participating. She's never participated before.
Hold her in. Hold her right in there. Yeah, scarred now, but
now Kelly sent the next one in, but she actually read it herself, getting double entries for the prize to be named later.
Good girl. Thank you, Kelly.
Well, it should play. Why is it not playing?
Try again. I got you all nervous. Yeah.
Hello. Good. Here is a really bad ad from Appleton City, Missouri.
The ad says four-year-old grade gelding Moe Foxtrotter / quarter horse, $3,000. It reads like this. Thor is a great horse and very well broke, standing 14/3 to 15 hands. He has been on trail rides to fun days, rode in parades, and won first place at his first horse show and reserve champion at his second. He wasn't even touched until last spring. No halter, no nothing. Now, my 13-year-old that had no experience can ride him. I have a video of him being rode a couple of days ago for the first time in 4 months in nothing but a hack and bareback. I can send videos through Messenger. One will be of him being rode by a friend that just got cleared by the DR from having a lung transplant. That's how sad he is. You're more that welcome to visit with her about the horse.
Wow.
Sounds good for the farrier. Trailer's great. Ride super smooth. He will do anything that your 15-year-old will do, go anywhere, and is a sweetheart. We're asking $3,000 for him. If you're interested in a test ride, call or text.
Wait, I'm sorry. Like, sometimes just TMI, okay?
Yeah. Just cleared by the DR for a lung transplant.
The DR. I really feel like a lung transplant person does not need to be on your horse that ain't been rode for 4 months.
Exactly. Thank you. Who wants to kill their friend?
Last spring. Yeah.
Yeah. And my 13-year-old who has no experience. I mean, what?
You're a terrible friend and parent.
And parent. Yeah, exactly. Child Protective Services.
Oh, that was terrible. All right. Now, the next one. The next one is yours. And it comes from Arkansas. And that's Arkansas. And you're going to have to. I feel like there is some southern.
Okay. Yeah. I believe they be.
I mean, but like you're kind of sometimes a little too southern.
Gentile.
Sweet. Like you're too Gentile. This seems fairly red. So I wanted to test out your ability
to switch to Arkansas.
I don't know if you can do it or not. Let's just see. She's got to clear her throat.
Yeah, this is not a movie. Okay. Buck Stud, part La Mancha goat.
It's a good start.
$50,
already.
Clarksville, Arkansas. No, Arkansas. I'll do that. Tip to Jamie there. 2-year-old Buck Stud goat. He has done his duty for 2 summers. Half of his kids have short ears. I got him from the goat lady out in Hackerville. Near the Lipizzaners. What? This was before the tornado leveled her barn.
Oh, my God.
You can't write this down. He is big. Really big. Misspelled. At least the big is right. He's not suitable for children. He likes to butt heads with me. I try to punch him in the nose. I bet you do. He always lowers his head. I wound up punching him in the pad between his horns. Last week, is this TMI, Jamie? Last week, I broke my hand. Enough is enough. Come and get him.
My cheeks hurt. TMI is like, the theme for today. I got it from the goat lady out by Hagerville near the Lipizzaners, which is spelled wrong. But that was before the tornado leveled her barn.
Because we wouldn't want a goat that he got after the tornado leveled the barn.
Don't worry. He ain't squashed.
Yeah.
He survived. And then I tried to punch him. I broke my hand. Oh, my God. That's so terrible. And what's really amazing is he spelled suitable correctly.
Correctly.
But spelled really wrong.
Lipizzaners. Lipizzaners. What? Lipizzaners. That's how it's spelled.
Lipizzaners.
Lipizzaners. That was before the tornado level.
A Lipizzaner sounds like a character in a new online video game aimed at 16 to 20-year-olds.
No. I'll tell you what it is. It's an STD. I wouldn't date her. She's got Lipizzaner.
Don't go out with that girl. She'll give you Lipizzaner.
Yeah, don't get Lipizzaners from this kick.
Oh, I'm going to get fired for that one.
Well, I love how people admit so much to the world. I try to punch him in the nose.
But he lowered his head.
Hey, that's, yeah, he always lowers his head after I punch him in the nose.
Oh, my God. That's great. Poor. Right. Okay. Chelsea sent in the next one. And so let's hear it.
Good morning, HRN. I have a really bad ad I found on Facebook. You'll have to bear with me here. There's a lot to be said and not a lot of punctuation. The ad reads, grass, $1,486. Guys, if you are looking for a top quality trail horses, go check out my page, Josh Sizemore Horses. I have several great horses for sale right now from TWH'S, QH'S, no spaces, and even a mule. All my horses come out of the country from good, honest people. None of my horses come out of sale barns. All of them will be 100% sound in every way and will be healthy. We ride every horse I put on the internet for 30 days. All one sentence. Not just 5 or 10 minutes, all caps, to make sure they are safe and gentle and ready to find their forever home. They're spelled T-H-E-R-E. All my horses will sell with a fresh set of coggins and health papers, so you can worry about hitting the trails and not waiting on blood work. So if you are in the market for a horse, come do business where business is being done, at a place where you, where you're, Y-O-U-R, not just another customer, but a lifelong friend. Thank you and happy ridding, spelled with two D's.
That's a classic.
He's trying so hard.
You know what? You can only find a good horse out in the country.
Yeah.
You got to have
honest horses. Honest horses.
Stay honest. That's great. Thank you. And again, she gets double the entries. Now, yay, we've got our next horse trailer Cynthia sent in. And I mean, it's not that bad looking. You know, it's a, looks like a one horse rounded front.
Yeah. Yeah. One got a big trailer. For sale. I'll take the dog in the front.
Yeah. He's cute. With the little Baker blanket. The little
blanket. Yeah. A little blanket on him. He's cute. Yeah.
And then the marketplace.
So it says two horse trailer though, Jamie. So make us.
Yeah, but it's a one horse trailer.
I know.
Isn't it?
Yeah. It looks like it in the front for sure.
What's the point of that, by the way? You just scream, I don't have any friends.
I'm antisocial. Thank you.
Only one horse. I don't have friends. I can't bring two. Just me. Goat. And then two horse trailer. And this is in Tracy, California. And it was for sale a week ago. And for $1,350. Wow. $1,350. Yeah. And in the about this vehicle, the seller's description says it is an automatic transmission.
Put that feature in there.
It doesn't have a title, by the way. Shocker.
Yeah.
Cynthia, thank you for sending that and letting us know that that person
thank
is
you, Cynthia.
Robin sent the next one in by herself. Double the entries. Let's hear it.
Good girl.
Looking for a new home. 15-year-old grade gelding. He has 16 plus hands. She had him listed as a 4/4, but he looks like he has some draft to him. Very sweet. Likes to move slow, but can go when needed. I was told when I bought him that he stands for the farrier, ties, baits, and loads. I myself have noticed he doesn't really like to load and will pull back at times. He wasn't worked with much while she had him. She let children ride him without help, so he did learn a few bad habits, but all they issues can be worked through easily. I put my 15-year-old son on him, and my son had never rode before. Both did great. Sometimes the horse likes to test you, but he really is easygoing to ride. I just had his teeth done in February and had the vet check him out. He is pretty healthy. Right now, we have been trying to put weight on him. He is low horse on the totem pole. With the rain, he has lost some weight, but he is still doing good. He has another. He is with another gelding and two mares. That's asking $2,000 OBO. That's what I paid for him in December.
Why are they selling it? They just bought him.
Exactly. I haven't done a thing with him either. I don't know. Doesn't sound like a flipper to me.
I just put my dang 15-year-old kid on him. Yeah. Just want to get out of it. You know what I put in it. Oh,
yeah. God. Yeah.
All right. The next one comes from Robin. Thanks, Robin Kane. This is Robin Donahue. Robin, and this is a pulling collar and Hames, $90 in Gatesville. Nine. I personally know that Robin Donahue lives in South Texas. So, you know, we have two Hames and a pulling collar to get a better size idea. We had put it on our donkey. Had a few inches to spare. Currently, I am not home, and my mama doesn't know how to use it or how to put it on. See, you're more than welcome to come take a look, and you can try it on our donkey to see. It's too small for a draft, possibly, for an average-sized horse. What's a hame? Do I know what a hame is?
Like
is that
a thing? Shavs or something? Or?
The hames are that when you see the Budweiser Clydesdales, the collars around the horse's neck, and you see that big, tall thing that sticks up above those withers on the collar, inside of that is the hames. It's sort of the frame that gives the collar shape. It's the tree.
The big brain on Jen.
Yeah. Yeah, nice. Look at that. She sleeps with a guy who drives. That's good.
I know, right?
Yeah. I always wondered if that was like decorative or what, but that's cool.
It is decorative too. Yeah, there you go.
It is too. Yeah, very cool. Thank you for saying Budweiser because that, like, there's the vision right there.
Everybody's seen the Budweiser horses.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, we got a couple more, but Alex sent us one. So Alex sent the ad to Jen.
Here we go.
Hey, thought I'd do a little bit something different and submit an ad from actually Craigslist.
Yes.
So this is from the Atlanta, Georgia area. So Jamie, near your hometown, somewhat near mine. Corona Cartel Gelding. $2,800, Atlanta, Georgia area. This is a great athletic gelding I have for sale. I call him Cash Flow. He is very fast horse from gates to 350 yards. He, at the age now, can be on barrels or race in bushes. Horse have no injuries or issues inside. He is recently being trained and exercised for next racing season. He is very calm and quick on his feet. Almost anyone can ride him western or jockey pad. He is used, USE, to traffic, and loud noises won't hurt his soul. He can really run, though, so hold on to your cowboy hat. Asking $3,000 for him. Great horse. I'm just working on road and not having much time to play with him. I like to see him go to loving home. Give me text or call.
That's Georgia for you. That basically, it's a runaway, is what. Oh. it's a runaway horse.
Doesn't matter what kind of tack you put on, he's out of there. Yeah.
Yeah, he's gone. So what's the bush racing? Is that bush league? I mean, what does anybody have an interpretation of bush?
Bush racing would be something that would be non-sanctioned by the Thoroughbred Horse Association. Exactly. They call it in Arizona, bush racing is called match racing in the desert. And it probably can't be legal. It probably not.
Shouldn't be. Yeah, probably not.
All right. Thanks, Alex. Raven sent the last one in. This is in Goodyear, Arizona. And good luck with it.
Mm-hmm.
Read it as written.
Okay, read it as written. I think this is like Arabic. Isn't it? I mean, look at that first word. What is that first word? Curter. Curter horse Palomina. Mare, $850. Good year. Good year. Good year. Nice mare. Already broke. And great with kids, I put my 2-year-old on her like Nathan Great Mare. I'm selling her to do, I stopped there, but there was no period. I'm selling her to do moving. If you want her, if you want her whole, year one, the pick I'm asking, 1,000 firm. She is 4 years old, good papers, but I just can't find her papers. Call me or text.
Wow.
That's it.
How many times do people say they are registered? Yes, absolutely. Registered. But no, I don't have the papers.
About the papers. Yeah.
Or can be registered. I just never did it.
That's right. I never did that little thing. That little, now how are we going to do it? Yeah. Curter horse. Curter horse Palomina.
It's a Curter horse Palomina. Oh, gosh. Now, this last one was sent in by an auditor, but she put it on her Facebook page, but I just had to share it. And I can't find it.
Jen
sent this one. I can't find the name.
Let me dig it up for you.
Oh, wait, here it is. Katie. Katie sent this one in. And maybe Debbie, could you describe?
Oh, yeah. Thanks. I said it was a visual. I Yeah. Well, it starts off with rodeo tack swap.
Just describe the picture.
Oh, do I have to say?
Is this a Facebook ad?
She's blushing into her microphone right now.
I am. I'm blushing. So there's a guy who has the biggest quads I probably have ever seen, but at least he has pants on. Yeah. And from there up, he has a ripped torso, a couple of semi-erect nipples, I think. Oh my God.
It's cold in there.
And a big, it's a little cold in this room, apparently, but he's liking himself because he is doing a selfie.
A mirror selfie.
For us, a mirror selfie. Yep, that's it. He's in the bathroom, of course. And he's got one arm all tatted up sexy-like, and then he's got tats across that pretty little chest of his, which he has ripped all the hair off, of course. And he's got this thick forearm holding up that selfie with the perfect little beaded bracelet on, and he's got a nice little beard going on, just enough to look so country.
You're getting a little excited about this. I'm just
gonna, okay. Sorry.
It's a shirtless dude taking a selfie who's like clearly works out all the time. It's cold in the room and he's been doing some push-ups to make his muscles really stand out. And he's quite proud of himself. And now the ad, which is in Rodeo Tax Swap.
You're gonna
like Brandy shared this in Rodeo Tax Swap, and Brandy her first line is, "Now that I have your attention," emoji, drool emoji. When Jennifer saw this picture this morning, she was like, "Ew, gross."
It's just a little gross. I know.
I just don't understand. First of all, I want to know what that tattoo across his chest says. And I want to know.
I can't read it backwards in the mirror.
I think Mandarin Chinese is the writing across his abdomen.
Yeah,
I'm sure it says
belly button.
Nothing what he thinks it says. He probably thinks it says, something amazing and beautiful. And it probably says
Chinese girl,
Chinese fried rice or something. Now that I have your attention, due to my boy being down and possibly out for the season / for good, I need to start the search for my next horse. BC, it took me the number 4 years to match up with Cody, I want to start my search and probably looking for a unicorn, .. Now, I would like to point out that every one of these following sentences starts out with a unicorn emoji. Okay. This is the new teenager ad. Oh my God. This is obviously a teenager. I have to read it as that.
Good. Perfect.
Now that I have your attention, drool emoji. Due to my boy being down and possibly out for the season / for good, I need to start the search for my next horse. .BC, it took me four years to match up with Cody, and I want to start my search. And probably looking for a unicorn, .. Unicorn emoji, bay roan, huge plus, but like dark color horses, in parentheses, red Virginia clay shows no mercy. Unicorn emoji, patterned or at least started. Unicorn emoji, athletic, have one who won't get out of his own way, but has been awarded seniority.
Yeah.
Unicorn emoji, fairly close to central Virginia, but will travel for my unicorn. Unicorn emoji, 7 to 10 years old. Unicorn emoji! Not lethal, in parentheses, I don't have insurance and I refuse to let my hubs collect on my life insurance. Unicorn emoji! $2,500 or less, if possible, will go a little more for the right one or a lot more if you help me bump off my husband for his insurance.
That's taken an unpredicted turn. Oh my God.
Desperate. Yeah.
Unicorn emoji, unicorn emoji, unicorn emoji. Please, somebody, help this poor, sweet angel girl find her next horse.
This murderer.
Or murder her husband.
Oh my gosh.
Stop her now. You must help her.
This ad is going to be featured on CSI next season. Oh my God.
So true.
Oh my gosh. Oh,
well.
Yeah.
Well, that is it for Really Bad Ads. Thank you so much for sharing, all of you who sent them in. You get double the prize edition for next time. And we do appreciate it. Now, we have a new thing that we do on the show today. You have to participate. What did you learn today, Debbie?
That's right. I learned that the only way to control a goat is to pop him in,
push him in the
pad between his horns. Yeah.
But he'll break your arm. Yeah. Okay.
He does break your hand in the process. Yeah.
Okay. That's not a very good thing. Anything else that we learned? Because I feel like there's a lot of education being dropped in the show today.
Oh, that's true. I learned that a Hames on a Budweiser is that decorative thing that is actually a frame of the.
See, I didn't even remember that. So I really took twice to get in. I learned that don't date the guy that has Liperzaner because.
Yes. Exactly. You don't have it.
Yeah, good to and you put the second ear in first. The off ear goes in the bridle first. So
You didn't learn that. You knew that. So you taught everybody that.
I learned that when you're 42, you can still have an argument with your mama who's 69 and she's gonna try to turn your babies against you. That's what I learned.
That's right. Yeah, she's 5 foot.
And then the other thing that you have to do is you have to, you know, I say the word spay, neuter, and geld because I'd like that to be the last thing that people think of when they hear me. So then if they're thinking, should I spay or neuter or geld, the answer is yes. So what is your thing that you like to say at the end of shows?
I like to say calmly and peacefully, as people have not been laughing on my program. Have many happy horse hours.
Fantastic. Spay, neuter, geld.
That's it.
That was fun. I laugh on your show.
I laugh at me. Your show too, actually, with the mic on. I laugh at
like,
you a lot.
You're like the NPR of the horse podcast.
I'm the NPR.
Hi, guys. It's a compliment, by the way.
Thank you.